Welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Stephen Park, and thank you for joining me on my Breathe Better, Sleep Better, Live Better expert interview series. Tonight, we're going to talk about a very common problem that everyone suffers from to some degree. In our modern, non-stop, stress-filled society, it's only natural that we feel a sense of being overwhelmed from time to time. We compensate by vigorously exercising, drinking coffee, and take part in other activities that keep us productive, not to mention stay awake. I've stated over and over again that poor sleep, whether due to lack of sleep or due to poor quality sleep, plays a major role in how tired we feel. And up until now, my main focus on these interviews has been to enlighten everyone about the importance of proper breathing while sleeping at night. But tonight, we're going to focus on an extreme end of the fatigue spectrum, which is chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. And tonight, I'm honored to have with us Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, who is a board-certified internist and medical director of a national chain of fibromyalgia and fatigue centers. Having suffered with and overcome these illnesses in 1975, he spent the next 30 years creating, researching, and teaching about effective therapies for fatigue and pain. He's a senior author of numerous landmark studies in this field, and he also lectures internationally. He's definitely one of the pioneers in the diagnosis, treatment, and research into these conditions. Dr. Teitelbaum is world-renowned in the field of sleep, fatigue, energy, and pain, and is also the author of the best-selling book, From Fatigue to Fantastic. He's also appeared on Good Morning America, CNN, Fox News, and is a frequent guest on Oprah and Dr. Oz. So tonight we have over 100 people from various parts of North America and many other parts of the world registered for this event. And remember that only if you registered, we get a link to the recording of this call in a few days. And I'm sure Dr. Teitelbaum will be answering many of your questions during our talk, but I'm sorry to say that due to the high volume of questions that came in during registration, we won't be able to answer everyone's questions, but we'll also make sure to set aside time at the end for some live questions from the end. So let's get started. Dr. Teitelbaum, thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, pleasure to be with you. It sounds like we have a lot of really good stuff to go over today. That's going to be
Definitely. I'm really looking forward to finding out what you have to teach us. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got so interested in this area?
Well, I had chronic fatigue syndrome back in 1975 when I was in medical school. I had one of the drop-dead flu situations where I was near bedridden in the beginning and non-functional. It just persisted. It actually left me homeless and sleeping in parks because I was paying my own way to med school, so no work study, no loans, no scholarship. And I had to learn how to recover from the disease to be able to get back to med school and to do well. Since 1975, when this happened, we've done a number of studies. We've looked at the underlying causes and treatment. We've shown that 91% of people can get better. Written a number of books. And for those that are interested, too, who have persistent fatigue, we have I actually have a patent on a computerized doctor in the United States. And we have a free online program on the website at vitality101.com where people can put in their symptoms. And then their lab tests, if they have them available, it'll analyze it, say what's causing your fatigue, and it screens for sleep apnea, restless leg syndrome, the whole host of other issues as well. And it actually tailors a treatment protocol to tell people how to get well. So the reason I'm here today is to go ahead, for those of you with sleep apnea who find that you're still fatigued, you're still achy, you still just don't feel well despite treatment. There's a lot of other things you'll find that if you treat the whole process using SHINE, you're going to feel dramatically better.
Great. Can you describe for us exactly what chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia is? And also, how do you know if you have it?
Yeah, these are the same process in most people. It's a combination of exhausted and unable to sleep. That tells you. So with sleep apnea, you'll find most of you can fall asleep okay. You just feel lousy during the day, fall asleep easily, feel tired. But the combination of unable to fall asleep and stay asleep despite being exhausted, if we have achiness, brain fog, numbness, tingling, increased thirst, sinus congestion, these are many of the symptoms that are part and parcel of the disease. And that's why I'm going to invite those of you with sleep apnea that if you also feel achy, if you have numbness and tingling in the fingers or widespread pain, increased thirst, the weight gain, that actually came after the symptoms, these are things that should let you know that it may not only be sleep apnea, that there's a host of other processes that you may have gone into the CFS and fibromyalgia. process. And most people who have one have the other. These are two names for what are most people represent the same process.
I think I read in your book that there's no one cause for it. There are multiple different conditions that add together to give you these symptoms. Is that right?
Absolutely. These illnesses basically, or syndromes, represent blowing a fuse. They're an energy crisis in your body, where your body is spending more energy than it's able to make, and you blow a fuse. And just like there's dozens of ways to blow a fuse in your home, there's dozens of ways to trigger an energy crisis and blow a fuse in your body. Now, the name of that circuit that goes offline is called the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus is the sleep center, controls sleep in the body. And that's one reason why insomnia with that paradox, can't fall asleep even though you're exhausted, is such a hallmark of this disease.
Now, actually, just to go a little bit off topic, you may hear about adrenal fatigue syndrome. Is that the same thing?
If you look at the hypothalamus, the fuse that you blow, it controls sleep, hormone function, temperature regulation, and autonomic function, which is blood pressure, pulse, sweating, bowel function, nasal congestion as well. So adrenal exhaustion or poor adrenal function is one of many of the downstream effects of blowing a fuse. So if you blow a fuse, your thyroid, your adrenals, ovaries, testes, your whole hormonal system is not going to work very well. And that's also why people, what's the technical term, drink like a fish and pee like a racehorse, because the hormone that controls holding out the water, antidiuretic hormone, vasopressin, is also deficient from this disease. So the adrenal function will be low. Now, the flip side of that is people who have excessive stress that exhausts the adrenal. They can have diseases that will damage the adrenal, but in most people these days, it's exhaustion. Stress can also then go ahead and trigger the CFS and fibromyalgia. So it can go in both directions. It can be a cause or an effect of the disease. But the way that you tell is not by the blood test. The blood test will miss. I'll put it this way. In the blood test, you have to be in the lowest 1 out of 100,000 people in the population for your adrenals to be considered low. It has to be so low that it can kill you. Anything between that and totally normal is considered fine. So you don't tell by the blood test. The way that you tell is irritable when hungry. Now, most people aren't happy campers and hungry, but if you get this, feed me now or I will kill you kind of stuff regularly during the day, that's when your blood sugar is dropping, and that is a symptom in most cases of adrenal exhaustion, because the adrenal is what keeps your blood sugar okay during stress.
Okay, so how can you tell between someone who is just chronically tired and chronic fatigue syndrome? How do you differentiate that?
Well, first off, people who are chronically tired without chronic fatigue syndrome are usually not going to have trouble sleeping. They'll sleep all weekend. The other thing is it doesn't go away with vacation. Most of you, when you're exhausted, you go on vacation, you feel better. With chronic, having blown a fuse and chronic fatigue syndrome, you can go on vacation for 8 years. It's not going to make a difference.
And I guess I'm sure you agree that stress is a major component in this. And with all the modern technology and all the stresses of modern life. So why do you think, in addition to this, why do you think people are so tired all the time? Why is this happening all of a sudden now? I mean, did this happen before? Were there other forms of this in the past?
Well, we talk about the energy crisis and we think about gasoline or oil, but really it's the human energy crisis that's the bigger problem these days. Now, CFS and fibromyalgia were present in the past. If you look at Dr. Nobel of Nobel Prize fame, Florence Nightingale, you look at their symptom patterns, they had fibromyalgia. But these are like mega type A overachievers of way back when, who had very high stress lives. But like many other diseases, they will wax and wane. Heart disease, for example, in terms of angina, very unusual 100 years ago. Now it's the biggest cause of death. Chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, also because of the increased stress of modern life. Now you look at nutrition, where 500 years ago there was almost no sugar or white flour added to the diet. Now it's about a third of our total calories come from sugar and white flour, largely devoid of vitamins and minerals. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of nutritional problems. We are nutritional train wrecks, and it's the first time in human history that's been documented to have high calorie amount. We have poor sleep. sleep 100 years ago, it was reported to be 9 hours a night. And then we had light bulbs, television, radio, computers. We're now down to a little over 6.5 hours a night. So we have a 30% pay cut in sleep. 80,000 chemicals have been added to our environment, which puts a stress on our body. Life is moving much faster than it used to be. And it used to be in the old days, if you watched the news and TV, the same sex cells. And now instead of sex cells, the motto seems to be fear cells. So you turn on the so-called news and everything seems to be a crisis. And I'll tell you right now, all you need to do to prove to yourself that what's on the news stations is not accurate is flip between MSNBC, CNN, and Fox, and how they report on the exact same story, and you'll think you're on three different planets. So it's, you know, it's reasonable once you've watched it, when it no longer feels good, just turn it off. It's not really informing. I don't care which network you're watching. It's entertainment.
I can tell you from experience that once I stopped watching the news, I felt so much better at night.
Bad habit to watch the news. And again, it's not accurate. You are not informing yourself by watching it. It is drama. It's like soap operas, except it's a soap opera that's trying to convince you that it's the real thing. So as soon as the news stops feeling good, change the channel. Cartoon Network, Comedy Channel, Discovery, all kinds of fun places to switch to.
So let's go on to the, meat of the matter tonight. Can you talk about your SHINE protocol and what are the different components?
So for those of you out there who are exhausted and can't sleep, so you probably have this process, or just exhausted in general, despite the CPAP, what we found is that treating SHINE, 91% of you will find yourself feeling a lot better, energy much better, improving. S stands for sleep. So you've got one of the world's experts on tonight with Dr. Park. So I'm preaching to the choir for the S part of sleep. H is hormonal support, and the blood test will miss most hormone deficiencies. They are very, very unreliable. You go based on clinical symptoms to treat thyroid, adrenal, testosterone, estrogen. I would be infections, and the most important ones, especially in this population, will be the sinusitis and yeast overgrowth. The candida is the major cause of nasal congestion and sinusitis. It causes swelling in the nose, causes it to block shut, which again will trigger the upper airway resistance syndrome, but then it also triggers a secondary bacterial infection. Your mucus turns yellow-green. You go to the doctor, get the antibiotics. It feels better for a little bit, maybe. And then what do the antibiotics do to yeast? Well, most women out there who have had yeast infections will tell you they flare it, get more swelling, more sinusitis. So for infections, especially critical will be the sinusitis and the yeast overgrowth, especially for sleep-disordered breathing. Matt had asked a little bit about the upper airway resistance syndrome, and some of the listeners had asked, what can we do to treat that besides for CPAP? And if you treat the underlying candida with, there's a host of treatments, but avoiding sugar, and we'll talk about yeast in a bit, but treating the diflucan, basically, and a special nose spray, a lot of the upper airway resistance syndrome will go away. N is nutrition. And for nutritional support, people ask about vitamin and mineral. Do I need them? So we'll talk about easy ways to go ahead and get overall nutritional support. And then E would be exercise as able. But a lot of people go to the doctor says exercise, and you push and you find yourself bedridden for a day or two. You did too much. You need to build energy production up so you can condition.
Now, is there more detailed information available in your book?
Yes, the Fatigue Fantastic book will make all the listeners experts.
Okay.
And it's in most bookstores, easy to get online, vitality101.com. But also, like I mentioned, there's an online computer program. If you go to vitality101.com, click on Symptom Analysis Program on the homepage, and do the free one. The short form is all that most people need. It'll take you through a questionnaire. You answer the questions. If you have your blood tests, it'll ask you for the key ones. You add those in. If you don't have your tests, don't worry about it. You can go back and do it later with the tests. It'll analyze it, tell you what's causing your CFS and fibromyalgia, and put together a tailored, detailed treatment protocol for exactly what people need to do to get well. So we've tried to make this as easy as possible for people.
Okay. Now, before we start the interview, Dr. Jones, you and I talked a little bit about the role of sleep apnea and how that connects with chronic fatigue syndrome. Can you comment on this a little bit?
Absolutely. Because, as you mentioned, there's many ways to blow a fuse, and anything that causes sleep deprivation can cause an energy crisis. So whether you have poor sleep because you're not making time, or whether you have poor sleep because it's like you're getting suffocated with the pillow 200 times a night, so that the quality of the sleep suffers. This is what sleep apnea is often like. It can cause energy depletion and trigger the disease. Now, the flip side of that is the average weight gain in CFS and fibromyalgia is 32.5 pounds, which can then also trigger the sleep apnea. In addition, sleep-disordered breathing, besides apnea, including upper airway resistance syndrome especially, because of the yeast overgrowth and the nasal congestion, which comes from the yeast also from autonomic dysfunction, UARS is also likely a very common process that is both caused by and can cause the syndrome. So the bottom line is fibro, but it also can be caused by. And the thing is that it's important to treat. Many of you have noticed that just treating the CFS and fibromyalgia, just treating the sleep apnea was not enough to make a chronic fatigue or pain go away. And that's why the rest of the SHINE protocol becomes so important here.
Now, are there any tests available for these conditions?
There's no test needed to make the diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. If you have widespread pain, if you have exhaustion and they're associated with difficulty sleeping, then you've got these processes until proven otherwise. The tests are important to look for what caused you to blow the fuse and to know how to treat it, because it's just like blowing a fuse. You can turn the circuit breaker back on, but if you don't get to the underlying cause, you're just going to blow the fuse again. So you would need to look for nutritional issues, specifically iron, B12 deficiency, things like that. You need to look for a host of different things. So if you look at the free symptom analysis program, or if you look at treatments for CFS and fibro at the Vitality101.com website, you'll see a lab requisition form, and it will actually go through the tests that are helpful based on order of priority, most important, secondary, and then things that are helpful but not critical.
Now, I read somewhere in your material that you mentioned a study where you used ribose, which is sugar, for chronic fatigue. Can you describe that study for us?
Yes. So if you look at SHINE and its nutrition, and what you're finding is that being an energy crisis, once you've given overall nutritional support, the levels of the energy molecules, when you eat food, it has to be converted to ATP, NADH, FADH. These are basically like the energy dollars. It's kind of like, if you work, it has to be converted to money that you can go out and spend. When you eat, it has to be converted to these energy molecules that you can use for energy. These molecules are made of B vitamins, so we supplement that, but also made of ribose. And we were wondering whether ribose deficiency wasn't part of the reason why people were having trouble making their energy. So we gave ribose, and any brand out there is fine as long as it's the powdered. I wouldn't take capsules. You'd be taking 30 capsules a day. But it's a special sugar. Unlike most sugars, which are very toxic in this disease, this is one made by your body. It's healthy. The yeast don't seem to ferment it. Has a negative glycemic index. We found that giving one scoop or 5 grams 3 times a day for 3 weeks increased energy production an average of 45%. So this was a dramatic improvement. And again, it took an average of 12 days for people to start feeling better. The brand that I use is called Porvalin, but like saying ribose is fine. It's available at Vitality101.com. We have a vitamin shop. But get the Porvalin powder. One scoop 3 times a day. You can put it in foods. You can put it in your water. I throw it in with a vitamin powder in the morning. That's my daily regimen. Give it one container. You'll know in 3 weeks, and then you can drop it down to twice a day. Looks and tastes like sugar. The only real side effect, some people get over-energized or hyper, in which case lower the dose or take it with food.
Now, you also say that this illness is not the enemy. What do you mean by that?
Well, when you blow a fuse, say you plug in too many heaters in your home, and off goes the fuse. The lights all go out and the rest, and you know that you blew a fuse. Now, it's annoying when that happens, but it actually protects your wiring from burning out or your house from burning down. So blowing, having a circuit box or fuse breaker or circuit breaker is not the enemy. It's a protective mechanism. By the same way, this illness actually acts as a protective mechanism to take people out of the game in the face of overwhelming stress. What I find in this is a disease of overachievers, and where most people, when they're exhausted and tired, will rest, people with this disease historically have had the bad habit of redoubling their efforts. So if the body didn't take them out of the game, they might cause permanent harm. So the nice thing about this disease, though, is that as you turn the circuit breaker back on, it's just like in a house with a blue fuse 10 years ago, you turn the circuit breaker on and everything comes up perfect. And it doesn't matter how long people have been sick or how sick they are. But you also need to look at what blew the fuse. And if you go back to what made you sick in the first place, if it allows you to go back to a job that was horribly toxic, you're going to blow a fuse again. So we talk about also how to maintain health so that you don't just go right back to the same problem.
Now, what can you do to, what can you recommend for people who don't officially meet the criteria for chronic fatigue syndrome?
Or ignore the criteria?
Well, in terms of...
understand yeah. that, you yeah. know, we have, Steve, we have the criteria for fibromyalgia where there's 11 of 18 tender points, and the studies show if people only have 8, 9, 10 of the tender points, does that mean they don't have fibro? No, the studies show that they have fibromyalgia like all the other folks with 15 or 18 tender points. Same with chronic fatigue syndrome. You don't have, even if you don't have all the minor criteria, if you're exhausted and can't sleep, you've got the process. But even if you're just fatigued without the insomnia thing, if you get the nutritional support, the sleep support, and the exercise, for many of you, that's going to be enough. But for others, you know, you may have low thyroid. How do you tell? Weight gain, cold intolerance, low body temperature, achiness. You deserve a trial of thyroid hormone, even if your doctor told you that the tests are totally normal. That's because the tests are, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to get bleeped out, so I'm not going to say any more about the tests, your liability. So. They're pretty lousy, though.
So how can people find a physician in their area who knows how to treat these conditions?
A simple way to start. There are fibromyalgia and fatigue centers all around the country. If you go to a website, www.fibro, fatigue.com, you'll find 16 centers around. And these doctors know how to treat this disease. It's worth flying to the center too, because you can't treat this disease in 6 minutes like the average doctor visit, and you want somebody that's an expert in treating it. In addition, if you can't find a fibromyalgia and fatigue center near you, start with a holistic physician, and there's a website, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, Holistic Board, B-O-A-R-D.org, O-R-G, not the .com, and there's over 1,200 holistic physicians around the United States. If you go on my website at vitality101.com, there's also a list of practitioners around the world that have done my training programs. So that tells you that they've done at least a 2-day training. Many have done the 4 or longer day training. But to put it in perspective, the Fibromyalgia and Fatigue Center doctors have done this for years. It's something that I'm training them day in and day out. In fact, I'll be flying to Denver from New York to do another training of the physicians this weekend.
So why do you think that traditional medical doctors don't know about this information?
Well, let me just summarize it. Many of you, you may not be old enough to remember the old Pink Floyd song, but it goes something like this. Money, 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 honey. Ka-ching. Most doctors, first of all, they're well-meaning. The doctors out there are really well-meaning people, but they have 6 minutes for a visit. There's no single expensive medication until recently. That was helpful for this disease, so the drug companies weren't going to be spending the hundreds of millions of dollars advertising it to physicians. It uses treatments that tend to be natural to get people better. And there is no specific test, but I'll give you the main reason. If you take a look at diseases of the immune system, which is this affects the immune system, 3/4 of people who have the disease are female. And if you look, so 3/4 of people with CFS and fibro, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, most people with these immune diseases are female, and CFS and fibro is no exception. And historically, MS used to be called historical paralysis. You seem too young to remember back in the days where lupus was considered a hysterical disease, but when I was in med school, we had an LE prep, and it was just going from hysteria to being a real disease. If you look at the word hysteria, that comes from the Latin word hystero, which means uterus, to give you an idea of how doctors think about women. So because there was no test, it was too complex, the insurance companies don't pay for treating it. It's not something where doctors got a lot of brownie points for putting in an immense amount of time to learn it and to learn how to treat it.
That's really revealing. So, you know, we have actually a lot of time for a live Q&A. I think this is a great time just to open up for questions. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. Okay. What I'd like to do, though, Steve, is to go through the SHINE protocol from the treatment end.
Okay, let's
people
go ahead
know
and cover that, sure.
Some things that would be very helpful for them. So,
of course.
Again, for those of you out there, to make it simple, do the symptom analysis program at vitality101.com. But let's go through each component. We have the S component for sleep, which Steve has made you folks expert on. There are questions, is there anything besides CPAP that you can do for your apnea? And again, you may have talked about the dental appliances before, but some people also only have apnea when they're sleeping on their back. And if you videotape yourself sleeping at night, you can see when that's happening. In those cases, you can sew a tennis ball into the small of the back on a tight T-shirt. You can just take an old shirt pocket, put the tennis ball in, sew it into a T-shirt by the small of the back. So when you're laying on your back, you roll over off of your back because it's uncomfortable laying on the tennis ball. But the key thing will be losing weight. And you can't lose weight because of the metabolic problems in this disease until you treat SHINE, and then the weight is able to come down. There's a section in my book, and on the website there's an article on how to treat the metabolism so the weight can come down. Upper airway resistance syndrome for the sleep part. Again, treat the underlying yeast. We'll talk about that under infections. And you'll find that many of you will have the upper airway resistance syndrome go away. So that's just a really nice thing. And also, Dr. Jones, you had asked about that. So there's a sinusitis nose spray that I especially want to note that has a mix of four medications. It's made by compounding pharmacies. ITC Pharmacy would be a good one for that. That works very well along with taking Diflucan 200 milligrams a day for 6 weeks to knock out the yeast. We'll talk about that more in a moment. For those of you with day-to-day insomnia, in addition to the sleep-disordered breathing, there is an herbal mix called the Revitalizing Sleep Formula. It's a mix of six herbs. Most health food stores have it. The website, vitality101.com, has it. It's very, very good to get you sleeping through the night, 1 to 4 capsules. And it'll leave you calm the next day, but it won't leave you hungover. Also, for restless leg syndrome, again, restless leg syndrome is not a RequIP deficiency. It's more likely to be associated with low iron or low thyroid and even low blood sugar from the low adrenal during the night. So, again, the normal range for the blood test for ferritin, anything over 12 will be considered normal. But the studies show that even ferritin levels under 50 in restless leg syndrome, not just will the fatigue improve, but the restless leg syndrome also decreases over time at a level on par with, and in some research even more effective than, the RequIP. So you want to treat the iron deficiency. So we looked at the sleep, and I will use medications, but I'll pick ones that increase deep sleep. Standard Valium medications, Dalmane, things along those lines, actually are counterproductive. They force people out of light sleep besides being addictive. So there was a quick thumbnail for the S, or the sleep in the SHINE protocol. Hormonal support. The fibromyalgia fatigue center doctors, holistic doctors, can give a trial of the bioidentical prescription thyroid hormone. But treating the thyroid can make a massive difference. And again, the blood test will miss the large majority of people needing thyroid. If you're tired, weight gain, cold intolerant, achy, these are symptoms of low thyroid. Other adrenal problems, there's a product called Adrenal Stress End, a mix of licorice, glandulars, and nutrients that raise adrenal levels. There's bioidentical, very, 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 very low-dose adrenal hormone, which is safe, versus high-dose, which is toxic. And then bioidentical estrogen, progesterone, and even testosterone in men can be very helpful. The I for infections, again, candida, candida, candida. And most doctors don't even recognize it because there's no test for it. But if you have nasal congestion, spastic colon, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, with chronic fatigue, you have yeast until proven otherwise. The treatment is to avoid sugar. There's natural sleep There's natural antifungals. There's an anti-yeast product on my website called Anti-Yeast. It's very good. But the key thing would be the medication Diflucan, which is now available in generic for $42 for the six-week supply. Don't let them rip you off at $300. You know, go to Costco, Consumer's Discount Drug. It should be $42 for the six-week supply. It will make a dramatic difference. But also, there's a sinusitis nose spray. The compounding pharmacy is called ITC Pharmacy. For those who would like to take down the number, it's 303-663-4224. And your physician can call in. They just ask for the sinusitis nose spray, 1 to 2 sprays in each nostril twice a day. By the end of the one bottle, along with the Diflucan and avoiding sugar, most of you will find that your sinusitis has gone away. And when that happens, and the nasal congestion clears, many of you will find that your upper airway resistance syndrome has also gone away. There's other infections, but they're beyond the scope of the talk tonight because we could spend hours just talking about those. But when you treat with SHINE, your immune system will get better, and many of these other infections will go away on their own. For nutritional support, you want to increase water intake. Even though you're drinking more than most people, you want to increase salt intake a lot, unless you have high blood pressure or heart failure. You want to cut out the sugar, high protein, low carb. But then a simple way to get overall nutritional support, there's a vitamin powder, and I would write this down. It's called the Energy Revitalization System. It's made by Enzymatic Therapy or Integrative Therapeutics. You can get it in most health food stores, also at vitality101.com. 1/2 to 1 scoop a day. It makes one drink. And then I throw a scoop of the ribose or Korvalin in. Most of you are going to find you do that for a month, and you're going to feel dramatically better simply from that nutritional support. So the Energy Revitalization System, it says 1 scoop a day, but 1/2 to 1 scoop. Some people get gas or loose stools, some magnesium, vitamin C, and other nutrients. So adjust it to what feels best. And the ribose, 1 scoop 3 times a day for one bottle. And again, you can find it at vitality101.com, most health food stores. It's all over the place. But you give it basically 3 weeks, and then you can drop it down to twice a day. But you'll know within a month you're going to see the benefits with that. And then E is to exercise as able. I think walking is a very good exercise. But again, if you feel wiped out the next day, you're doing too much, cut back to a comfortable level. And then doing this protocol, after about 10 weeks, you're going to find most of your energy levels are much, much better. Then you can start to condition. You can begin to increase your walking. So there you go. How's that? Wow. Quick thumbnail.
That's some really useful practical information. Yeah. Thanks. All right. Now, I guess I'm sure people have a lot of questions for you. So if you have a question for Dr. Teitelbaum, you need to unmute yourself by pressing *6. And then once you state your name, where you're from, and ask away. *6 to unmute yourself and ask your question. Hi, we can hear you. Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, hi. I had a question. Have you ever heard of a low-dose naltrexone therapy for fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue? And aside from that, what kind of efficacy can be expected from using Neurontin for pain?
Mm-hmm. Yes, let's take a look at that. I'm going to expand that a little bit more. There's a medication that blocks your natural narcotics. It's called, you have endorphin, which is, if you think of the runner's narcotic, but naltrexone blocks that. But there's an odd thing that the effect of that medication is very dependent on the dose. The standard dose for drug addicts, much higher, but in just 3.5 milligrams a day, and it's 2.5 to 4.5, it often stimulates immune function, and in a small subset of people can help them feel better with this disease. Now, I had used that about 15 years ago, and I really didn't see, you know, we had about 15 folks who tried it. We didn't see any benefits with it, but we really didn't give it the proper six-week trial that it needs to have. People took it for a month. They didn't feel better. They stopped it. You really have to give it 6 weeks to see the effect, and we're revisiting that now at the Fibromyalgia and Fatigue Centers. There's a recent study, again, suggesting that it was helpful, but the two things, more is not better. You don't want to go over that 3.5 to 4.5 milligram dose and give it the full 6 weeks. It can be made by compounding pharmacies. For more information, there's a website, low-dose naltrexone, naltrexone.org. So I think it's a very promising thing for to revisit. For the Neurontin, Neurontin stimulates what's called GABA. It's the natural Valium in the brain. And it's a very, very useful medication for many chronic pain conditions, and fibromyalgia is one of them. The Neurontin, Ultrams, Galaxin, these are medications that are helpful. We're going to hear about will be Lyrica, Cymbalta, and Savella, and each of those three drugs will be having their company spending $70 million a year advertising each of these for the use of treating pain and fibromyalgia. These are modestly effective. I think the Ultram and Neurontin are as or more effective, less side effects. But the interesting thing, there's a major, major problem with Neurontin and Ultram, and that's that they're generic, and therefore they're cheap. And therefore, your doctor is not going to really hear much about them. Skalaxin and muscle relaxant will be going off patent in about the next year or so. So that will come down in price also. So I think it's definitely worth trying Neurontin and Ultram for the pain. There's an herbal mix called End Pain, a mix of willow bark, boswellia, and cherry. Two tablets three times a day. Again, most health food stores have it. It's available at vitality101.com. Now, I will note, by the way, I have a policy. I don't take money from any drug companies or any natural product companies. And even products that I design to royalties, I'll go to charity. You'll find that I'm very opinionated. And this way I can be opinionated because of my policy without blushing or feeling like a cheap hooker. And I feel like a more expensive hooker. So anyway. But these medications are useful for the pain. But when you treat, the pain in fibromyalgia is coming from the muscles getting locked in a shortened position. When muscles don't have enough energy, think writer's cramp, think rigor mortis, they get locked in a shortened position and they hurt. And then you'll find you get these tender knots called trigger points, and if you get a massage that you feel all over your body. And with chronic pain, you develop what's called central sensitization. The brain then becomes sensitized and now starts triggering the pain signal on its own. When you treat the SHINE protocol, half of the people in our study pretty much had the pain go away. So you treat the underlying cause of the pain goes away. But it's not unreasonable to use Band-Aids like Neurontin, Ultram, Lyrica, Savella, Cymbalta. In the process, I think it's never acceptable to leave somebody in chronic pain. And having treated 3,000 patients, not just with fibromyalgia, but many others with chronic pain in general, I have a book, Pain Free 1 through 3, for those who have migraines or back pain or arthritis or others. And you can find the information for free on the website also under Health Topics A to Z. I can count on my fingers how many people I've not been able to get adequate pain relief for. That your doctor hasn't been able to help the pain is simply your doctors are not trained in pain management. Look at the Pain Free 1 through 3 book. Look at the website, you know, Vitality 101. Go to Health Topics A to Z. Look for your type of pain. And you'll have free articles that will say, here's what's going on. Here's how you make the pain go away.
Okay, what dose of Neurontin seems to be the at least baseline for helping with pain? I've heard 1,800 milligrams and up to 3,600.
It's incredibly variable from person to person. Some people take 3,600 and they feel better and they up it to 5,000 or more. Other people take 100 milligrams a day and they feel zonk the next day, but it knocks out their pain. So what's usually a good rule of thumb is to start with a low dose for pain medications. Start them at nighttime if they're sedating, something like Cymbalta to one in the morning. But start with a low dose and work your way up. When you hit side effects like sedation, cut back to a comfortable level. Your body will adapt to those side effects usually after a couple of weeks, and you can raise the dose. Most people find that about 900 to 3,600 milligrams a day, some people just 200 to 300 to 600 at bedtime, tends to be very effective. But again, it for the Neurontin, it's really widely variable from person to person. The Ultram, also very reasonable medication for the pain. Usually 50 milligrams, 1 to 2 tablets, 1 to 3 times a day will take care of the fibro pain. You can go up to 8 a day, but people tend to get nauseated and kind of dizzy at the higher dose, so I usually will keep it 4 to 6 a day for the Ultram. And they can be taken together. But you'll find when you treat with the SHINE protocol, in about 6 weeks, a lot of your pain is going to be gone. And
okay.
In most cases.
All right, thanks.
Good question. You're welcome.
Okay, anyone else have a question for Dr. Teitelbaum? If you didn't unmute yourself, it's star 6 to unmute yourself.
And the floor is open, and if we don't get the if people
Hello,
are bashful, go ahead.
Dr. Teitelbaum?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, hi. It's my name's Danny. And I have UARS,
mm-hmm.
and I'm currently using a dental appliance, although I'm having a great deal of difficulty with it. I can use it. I have no problem using it. It's just that it hasn't been effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted, if you could elaborate on what you were saying about the role of diet in you and how to avoid sugar.
Mm-hmm. Well, Danny, if you look at it, if you pinch one nostril shut, you may find you have trouble breathing in the other one, that there's a little bit of nasal congestion or upper airway resistance. Now, you can see that from nasal septal deviations, but most of the time people weren't born with that. They were born with a deviated septum. But most often what you're going to see is coming from yeast overgrowth, especially if you have gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation. If you find that you clear your throat frequently with post-nasal drip kind of stuff. And you want to knock out the yeast. So take a piece of paper. Here's what you do. One, you avoid sugar.
Okay.
Two, on my website at vitality101.com, there's a product called anti-yeast, but you can find yeast herbals all over the place. You take that. You want to take probiotics, but I only use probiotics, which are healthy bacteria, that are in what's called the pearl form, because otherwise the probiotics hit the stomach acid, and the stomach acid kills them, and they don't put up much of a fight against the yeast. I would get probiotic pearls twice a day for 5 months. Now, those two natural things, the pearls and the anti-yeast, are helpful, but what's most critical for yeast are actually the prescriptions. Avoiding sugar is number one, and I say except for chocolate, so you can have little bits, but use stevia. It's a good natural sweetener. Saccharin, that's sweetened low in the pink packet, reasonably safe. But there's a medication called Diflucan, D-I-F-L-U-C-A-N, 200 milligrams a day for 6 weeks. You're going to need your doctor to prescribe that. Unless they're holistic, they're going to give you a bunch of grief. They'll say, well, that's all nonsense. There's no such thing as yeast because there's no test for it. They'll say, the Diflucan is dangerous because it can cause liver inflammation. Now, what I will note is that you are way, 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 way more likely to get liver inflammation from taking a couple Tylenol. It's very safe. But because it's used by holistic doctors, some doctors will get wacky on you. If they do that, we've told you how to find a doctor who knows how to treat it. There's also that sinusitis nose spray. Major, major benefit. Anybody with UARS, it's a really good thing. And again, the phone number of the pharmacy for that, if you're in the U.S., it's 888-349-5453. Your doctor can just ask for the sinusitis nose spray. Now, what you'll find is you'll do that regimen, especially the Diflucan, the nose spray, and avoiding sugar. Those are the three really key things. The other two, helpful, but if it's too overwhelming, just do those three. And you'll find in about 6 weeks on that regimen, your nasal congestion is going to be getting a lot better. And when that gets better, the upper airway resistance syndrome decreases as well.
Okay, because I have found myself kind of trapped. You know, I have the upper airway resistance syndrome. I put on the weight. I can't take it off. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of like self-perpetuating, and I also have anxiety mm-hmm. symptoms that are attached to it. So it's been very, very difficult to kind of get a handle on it because it's so pervasive, if you know what I'm saying.
How old are you?
55.
Do you tend to have high blood pressure, high cholesterol?
I have a high blood pressure now.
And how about your cholesterol level been doing? Have you had a check?
Yeah, it was not high. It was within a normal range.
Because what you want to look at, and you don't have diabetes or family history of diabetes?
No.
Okay. Again, find a holistic doctor and have them check your free and total testosterone level. Because you're at the age where you may be finding that you're getting testosterone deficient, and that can trigger high blood pressure. It can cause metabolic syndrome, and that's why I was asking about high blood pressure, diabetes, and high cholesterol. It can cause that kind of mix, and you treat with a natural bioidentical testosterone, not that dangerous stuff bodybuilders are using. And the diabetes goes away, the blood pressure comes down, the weight comes down because it turns into muscle. You don't lose the weight, but you get belt sizes smaller. And it can lower cholesterol and help you feel better overall. But the other thing to look at is the thyroid. If you're tired as well, now certainly the UARS can cause fatigue, but the weight gain, I'm not impressed that people with UARS are more likely to be bean poles and be kind of skinny folk. Mm-hmm. The sleep apnea, they're more likely to have the weight gain. So I would look at considering a trial of thyroid hormone. The combination, read my book or go on my website and look at the articles on thyroid. You want to use a combination of not just a Synthroid, which is not adequately effective in all the most doctors use, but something called Cytomel, which is T3, the active thyroid. But if you may want to consider the thyroid, but I would do that online program, the symptom analysis program, okay. And you may find that a lot of other things turn up and a lot of what you're considering, the sleep apnea or UARS, there's more going on.
Right. Well, I think there is because my apnea score is very low. And, I know that the oral appliance is doing what it's supposed to be doing as far mm-hmm. as protruding my jaw forward and creating space mm-hmm. back there in the throat. And Dr. Park has verified that with his little fiber optic camera. So I have a feeling that other processes are at work also.
Mm-hmm.
And I think tomorrow I'll go on the website. And I think there's going to be a rush on your book tomorrow. So I better.
Hopefully.
God bless. They can always print more. Don't worry about these tomorrow.
I better go to Amazon.com early in the morning tomorrow.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you. I want to let other people get in.
You're very welcome, Danny. But again, this is a great example of when you want to go after the SHINE protocol. Because often the UARS and the sleep apnea is being caused by the problem. It's not the only cause. So it's important to treat them. But you'll notice, Dr. Parks looked up and, you open the airway with the appliance and you move your jaw forward. You can even feel it. I mean, you can feel, does the air move in and out of your nose more easily? But the weight gain is one tip off of that. I think there's other stuff going on. There's more other tip offs too. But I would look at these other things. The program will help. And that you have Dr. Parks. Dr. Parks, would you do the blood testing for testosterone? And would you consider the sinusitis, nose spin, maybe diflucan for folks?
Yeah, I'm very open-minded. I'm going to give it a try.
Okay, now you have. So for those of you who are seeing Dr. Parks, you have no idea how lucky you are to have somebody that's that knowledgeable. I mean, Steve is he's one of the good guys out there, and it's awesome. And that he's a professor and he's, really good and he's open-minded, that's like gold. So, you guys have somebody there who's a real advocate for you. And I would take advantage of that.
Dr. Teitelbaum?
Uh-huh.
My name is Jeff, and I went on your website and took the long form questionnaire analysis, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And at the conclusion, it essentially said that I did not have chronic fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, I had a sleep study and was mm-hmm. diagnosed with moderate sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on two different CPAP machines mm-hmm. for the last 6 weeks or so with not a lot of benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to my sleep physician, who's a board-certified internist, pulmonologist, and sleep medicine guy, and basically what he said was your unrelenting fatigue is probably not due to sleep apnea. And so that kind of took the wind out of my sails because I've had a whole bunch of testing done, really to no avail, and I'm wondering what impact Danny kind of hit on it. I've had a long history of anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
What impact could those two factors have on chronic fatigue, whether you're a candidate for the quote-unquote chronic fatigue or you just suffer from chronic fatigue?
Well, Jeff, first, let me ask how old are you also?
41.
Okay, good. Now, let me give a couple of distinctions. One, and I know, Steve, you may say
Sorry.
This is a very rough measure, and no, don't worry about it. That contributes to fatigue to all those who join.
Yeah, right.
One way to get a sense of whether your sleep apnea is causing your fatigue is, do you have the tendency to fall asleep easily during the day? So if you fall asleep behind the wheel, if you're in a dark, quiet room, you tend to nod off. That's more suggestive of sleep apnea or narcolepsy, where in the fatigue of chronic fatigue syndrome, people are exhausted, but they don't really nod off during the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's one kind of discriminant. For depression, I'm going to give you a very high-tech way to tell whether it's fatigue versus depression.
Okay.
And you simply ask, do you have many interests? If you find that you have many interests, and the answer is yes, but I'm frustrated that I'm tired, you are not depressed.
Okay.
If the answer is, I'm really not much interested in anything and I don't much care, you're probably depressed. And then there's an article on my website under Health Topics A to Z that'll tell you how to get rid of the depression. Now, do you have trouble falling asleep, Jeff?
It really varies. I've been messing around with different masks and so forth and trying to get acclimated to the CPAP. But prior to that, I did not.
Okay.
I'm a little bit restless now. But like I say, I'm just concerned that my internist currently, in fact, I sent him all of the notes from gleaned from your site for my report. And he was open-minded enough to say, look, we'll go through Dr. Teitelbaum's labs, and we'll start there. I have the benefit, living in Minnesota, that I'm about 90 miles away from the Mayo Clinic. But
let me give you a name.
Sure.
Dr. Karen Vrchota, V-R-C-H-O-T-A.
Okay.
I think she's in Minnesota. She used to work at the Mayo Clinic system. And then she said, well, you know, can I go ahead and try Dr. Teitelbaum's protocol with 10 folks just to see? And they said, well, blah, blah, okay, go ahead. And 9 of them got better with CFS. And then she did it with 25 folks, and most of them got better. And then they said, well, you got to stop messing around with that stupid stuff, and she left.
That figures.
So I've never seen anybody with chronic fatigue syndrome come away from the Mayo Clinic with anything besides enormous frustration and anger.
That's why I haven't gone yet.
So, but look up Karen Vrchota, V-R-C-H-O-T-A online.
Okay.
And I think she's in Minnesota. But very, very bright doctor. She's up probably on my website, too, under Find a Physician, Find a Practitioner.
Sure. I think I did see she's a couple hours away from me, but I did see that there was
worth the drive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, again, you may not have chronic fatigue syndrome, but there's, you know, dozens of other things, mostly treatable, that can cause a chronic fatigue. And that's why the thorough evaluation is really worthwhile. You know, without looking at your blood testing, without looking at the questionnaire, it would be tricky. But I'll tell you, it's unusual for us to find people. I say that it's 15% of people that we can't help with their fatigue using this protocol. And, you know, the 5-1 Fatigue Centers, Dr. Vrchota, you know, there's many people, most doctors are clueless, and that you found somebody open-minded is great. But it's kind of like if you came to me and you said, I need heart bypass surgery. And I said, well, I'm open-minded. Do you have a book and a scalpel? I'll see what I can figure out.
Right.
You know, so...
Not a good place to start, right?
Yeah, you want to go with somebody who's treated a couple folks with it successfully. I mean, your doctor, being open-minded, puts him way at the top of the pack compared to most. But like I say, you want somebody who's done this before.
Sure.
So you have Dr. Vrchota. It's worth the drive.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Okay. The doctor is in. Next.
Okay, anyone else with a question for Dr. Teitelbaum?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Hi. My name is Suzanne. I'm a patient of Dr. Parks. And I was fortunate enough to come up from Jacksonville, Florida to see him, and that's when he diagnosed me with UARS. But my problem is I have so many things going on, including the fibromyalgia, and I get daily IV fluids because of the dysautonomia and the heat intolerance. I have so many things going on. I didn't know where to start. Do you start with the fibro doctor? Is that the best place?
Well, I would consider, again, If Dr. Parks feels comfortable treating the fibromyalgia, and that's something I really have to ask you, or whether you feel more comfortable working with a consultant, up in Connecticut, in Norwalk, Connecticut, just north of the border, about 45-minute drive from New York, there's a fibromyalgia fatigue center. And talking to the doctor up there, she's very good, and setting up kind of a cross-referral thing.
Well, I'm here in Florida. I came up from Florida to see him.
Oh, there's a fibromyalgia fatigue center in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and Karen Bullington and Satish Kadapa, they're both very good. But with the dysautonomia, a couple things. One, you want to look at the hormonal issues. How old are you again?
I'm 32. They've done every test you can think of, including blood work, and it's all come back normal.
Yeah, and that's because they have no clue how to interpret it properly.
Okay.
So you want to look at things. You get irritable when you're hungry.
Yes.
Okay, it's like feed me now or I'll kill you kind of a thing. So you want to get the adrenal support, because when you're talking about dysautonomia, you may be talking about the hot flashes and sweats, you may be talking about the blood pressure dropping with exertion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there's a lot of stuff. The bowel function is actually a dysautonomia component. And there's a lot of things.
I have severe gastroparesis. I have a hard time eating most things.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say don't eat sugar, I'm like, oh, my God. I can only eat so few things, I don't know what to do.
Yep. And what you want to do is you want to start by treating the yeast.
Okay.
You also want to start by treating the low thyroid. I don't care what your blood tests are.
Okay.
If you look at small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which is very common in this disease, okay, it's because of basically the gastroparesis, the poor bowel motility. You know, the food just sits, and that's why you get reflux and bacterial overgrowth. I know I'm speaking in tongue over here. You can look at SIBO on my website. You can do a search. But the thyroid will help stimulate your bowel contractility. Also, I may, as for holistic doctor, people may spit when I say this, but I'm going to say Dexedrine, Ritalin, Dexedrine. Those, basically, they're in the amphetamine family, but they give the hyperactive kids too often. Is very good for the dysautonomia, and especially for the decrease in peristalsis, for what's called gastroparesis, which is what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a supplement called pantothene, not pantothenic acid, but pantothene, 500 milligrams a day. And I'll give you another trick. Chew gum, sugar-free gum, during the day. Regularly. It stimulates the peristalsis. There are studies in people who have just had surgery where their bowels are asleep, and they actually show that they get them out of the hospital much quicker if they just haven't chewed gum. But again, you can't charge $50 a day per stick of gum, which they would if it was a medication for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's too cheap, so your doctor's not going to hear about this research.
It's just so overwhelming because I have a PICC line. I get daily IV fluids. I need tons of fluids. The Midodrine and Flutricort enabled me to go from like 7 liters a day to 3 in drinking.
That's going to drive your low adrenal nuts right there.
Oh, is it?
Because you want to graze during the day and kind of have frequent eating. But again, if you take adrenal support, then you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. The book,
so my best bet is to start with the fibro doctor.
I would see Karen. She's very, very good. Satish is very good too. If you're a guy, I'd say see Satish. If you're a gal, I'd say see Karen. I think it's just
okay. Who do you recommend? You're talking so fast.
Karen Bullington.
Bullington, okay.
At the Atlanta, if you go to fibroandfatigue.com.
Yeah.
And let her know that I mentioned the thyroid, Dexedrine. I think the Dexedrine, but the dysautonomia, do a search online.
Okay.
For gastroparesis and then Dexedrine and these other things. And again, your doctor's probably a very good doctor, but they're only going to be telling him what's expensive. I'm sorry, but that's
I've gotten, until Dr. Park, no one knew at all anything that was going on with me.
Yeah. So now you've gotten the things, the pantothene,
okay,
chew gum, sugar-free, take the thyroid,
okay,
take the Dexedrine. Now you have four places to start with.
Okay.
I'll give you a fifth one if there's a hot flash component, which is
Remifemin.
It's a wonderful herbal. You can get it in most health food stores. It's at vitality101.com. R-E-M-E-F-E-M-I-N, Remifemin. Two twice a day. Give it 2 months, but it stabilizes the autonomic dysfunction.
Oh.
And it's a wonderful herb for hot flashes. You have to use your Remifemin form. Give it to 2 months. After 2 months, you can drop it to one twice a day, but give it to 2 months to work.
Oh, okay.
So, Suzanne, does that give you a good starting point?
That is wonderful. You're changing my life. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You're welcome. Okay.
Okay, anyone else with a question? I think we're coming at the top of the hour.
Yeah, we nailed it right on the hour. There you go.
This has been great information you gave out, Dr. Teitelbaum. So, you know, I'm sure everyone learned a lot from this discussion. I know I definitely did. So if you had a question that wasn't answered tonight, you can always actually, is there a way that people can contact you afterwards, or is there like a forum? Or
there's a community bulletin board at vitality101.com.
Great.
Steve, you can just give me a call.
Okay.
I'm happy to answer questions that you have.
Okay.
I'd love to kind of train you along as you go.
I would definitely appreciate that. Yeah.
So you can email me and call me, and, you know, emails for quick things, but we can do a call. And then there's a community bulletin board that my staff kind of roams through and will pick up a lot, and then they'll send me questions that haven't been addressed a lot of times at the vitality101.com. So people post questions there a lot.
I really appreciate you joining us tonight. I know you took time from your busy schedule. So just a few announcements on upcoming events. Next month, I'm excited to have a returning guest, Ms. Tara Marie Segundo, who's a natural figure pro, personal trainer, and radio host, who's going to give you some tips on how you can lose weight without going to the gym. And in November, I'm going to have with us Mr. Ed Grandy, who's the executive director of the American Sleep Apnea Association, and we're going to talk about global issues regarding sleep apnea. You can also check my website at drstevenpark.com, Dr. S-E-V-E-N Park, like Central Park.com, under upcoming events for up-to-the-minute information. So that's it for tonight's program. Thanks for joining me. For everyone that registered, you'll get a time-limited link to the MP3 recording in a few days via email, and also a transcript for this program will be available for a nominal charge, so and details will follow in the upcoming email. For more information about this program or for other topics, please visit drstevenpark.com. This is Dr. Stephen Park, helping you to breathe better and sleep better. Until next time, good night.